Gemara already on that base told us that there are two dimensions of most onshim in the Torah. For example, the onesh of Misa has a kapara element, it atones, and it also has an onesh element. It also is something which protects society against criminals. It's something which deters future criminals because they know that they're going to be punished, etc. It's also, to some extent, a redress of the wrongs that the criminal perpetrated against society. Meaning it's a kapara, it atones for the criminal, but it also serves many social functions. And when it comes to each of the onshim that Beis Din administers, so we have to weigh to what extent is the identity of this onesh, of this punishment, bound up in the atonement that it provides, and to what extent is the identity of this punishment bound up in the actual societal functions that it fulfills. And just like we have to ask this question about Misa, about capital punishment, and about Malchus, about corporal punishment, we also have to ask this question about Galus. The difference is going to be that while most Rishonim assume that when it comes to Misa and Malchus, that the defining element of these punishments is the Onesh Shebahem, it's the societal functions, call it the punishment, rather than the atonement, by Galus, the balance is not so simple. The balance is not so simple at all. So one of the places where this discussion arises is the suffix that appears on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara is not sure if the person who killed Bishogig and was exiled to the Ir Miklat, who went into Galus, whether he is entitled to leave the Ir Miklat with the Misa of one of the four Kohanim who can release him from his Galus, or whether he's only entitled to leave the Ir Miklat if all three or four of those Kohanim pass away. So the question is, now this is a suffix. The Gemara says, Teiku, it does not resolve what the halacha is going to be. So do we treat it as a suffix kapara? We're not sure whether his kapara was completed with the Misa of one Kohen, or whether his kapara will not be completed until all four Kohanim die. So therefore, in order to ascertain, to ensure that he gets his full kapara, he has to stay there until all four of them die, misafik. Or do we treat this as a safik nefashos, that the primary purpose of sending him to the Ir Miklat is because we make an onesh on him. We decree that if the Goel Adam finds him out of the Ir Miklat, so the Goel Adam can kill him. That's a tremendous onesh. He's omed in a tremendous safik that every moment that he doesn't know whether the Goel Adam is going to get him or not. The only time he has security is in the Ir Miklat. And if he leaves the Ir Miklat, then the Goel Adam will get him. So maybe we'll say that as soon as one Kohen dies, he's allowed to leave the Ir Miklat, because once he leaves the Ir Miklat, the Goel Adam can't kill him, because there's a chance, there's a Safik Nefashos, that maybe he's already Patur, the Goel Adam is already not allowed to kill him after one Kohen. So because of this Safik, the Goel Adam can't kill him. So he's allowed to leave the Ir Miklat after only one Kohen dies, because for sure he's safe now from the Goel Adam. This is a safik of the Mishnah L'Melech, and this safik depends on whether the primary identity of the galus penalty is as a kapara, in which case we treat it as a safik kapara, and we say he can't leave, or whether it's, you know, the primary identity is an onesh. It's really just a side effect of the fact that we are gozer that the Goel Adam is permitted to kill him, permitted to harm him, etc. And therefore, once the Goel Adam is no longer permitted to harm him, he's allowed to leave, because the primary reason that we send him into Galus is as a subsidiary effect of letting the Goel Adam kill him. So this is the suffix of the Mishnah L'Melech. This Chakira, this Shaila, about whether the identity of exile, of Galus, is primarily bound up in atonement, or whether it's primarily an Onesh, and just a side effect of being Mafkir his life to the Goel Adam, is discussed at length by the Sefer Kli Chemda on Parshas Maaseh. And the Kli Chemda brings down from the Ritva, who had a similar safik. The Ritva wanted to know, let's say that a person was Mode al Pi Atzmo, he came into Beis Din, and without any witnesses, without any evidence, he says, I killed so-and-so Bishogig. Can Beis Din, or must Beis Din, send him to the Ir Miklat, or is Beis Din not allowed to pass Gengalus on him at all? So Zakta Kli Chemda, the Taloi, in the same Shaila. If we view the primary identity of Galus as being to atone for him, so then of course he comes into Beis Din and he says, I need atonement. So the Beis Din will give him atonement. Automatically, once they pass Gengalus on him, they're also giving the Goel Adam permission to kill him. That's a side effect of the atonement. Since Beis Din is allowed to pass in the atonement, because that's the primary identity of the Eir Miklat, then we're not concerned that this other side effect comes about, that the Goel Adam is now permitted to kill him. That's one side. The other side is that no, that the primary psak din which Beis Din issues is not that he's chayav to go into Galus. The primary psak din that Beis Din issues is that the Goel Adam is permitted to kill him. Memela, then he has to go into Galus in order to escape from this onesh, and then somehow the kapara comes on its own. So if that's the case, then Beis Din can't paskin that the Goel Adam, they can't paskin directly that the Goel Adam has permission to kill him, just on the basis of his own admission. It can pass him that he needs a kapara on the basis of his own admission, and then automatically the Goel Adam is permitted to kill him because that's bound up in the psak that he needs a kapara. But to pass him that the Goel Adam is allowed to kill him based on his own admission, that we don't do. Ain't the mesim atzmo rasha. It can't pass him directly on that, and therefore he would not be able to be mechayev himself galos. Maybe he wouldn't even be able to attain the kapara based on his own admission. The Kli Chemda brings a couple of other nafkaminas from this shaila. For example, he thinks that whether we treat galus with the same stringency as we treat, you know, dini nefashos, does Beis Din actually have to have 23 people? Do they have to, you know, think about it overnight? You know, do we give all the same chumras to a court case where the result is for sure not going to be capital punishment, but which may be a chiyuv galus? Or do we say that no, that galus is something lighter? It's more like, you know, just determining that the person needs a kapara, like giving them an extra chumash for truma. So if that's the case, then we wouldn't need all these chumros. Maybe even a Beis Din of 3 would be sufficient to pass them that a person needs galus. Maybe even the Beis Din can pass in that he needs galus without thinking about the case overnight. A third nafkamina that he brings, perhaps in the name of his rabbi, the Yeshuos Yaakov, he says, is what happens if there's no Beis HaMikdash? We know that we can't judge capital cases when there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore, according to Rashi. So what happens? Can we send somebody into Galus when there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash? If you hold that Galus is just another type of capital case, so that the purpose of Galus is to be mafkir his dam to the Goel Adam, to basically say the Goel Adam is allowed to kill him, and that's a primary psak of Beis Din, so that's essentially equivalent to passing the Chiyuv Misa on him, except it's not a standard Chiyuv Misa, rather it's a Chiyuv Misa, you know, through the Goel Adam, but at the same time it is a Chiyuv Misa, and then the Chiyuv Galus only comes as a byproduct of that Chiyuv Misa. If that's the case, then Beis Din cannot issue this psak when there's no longer a Kohen HaMisharis Beis HaMikdash, when there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash standing, the same way that they can't issue a psak that a person is chayev skila sveifa harag rechenek. However, if you view the primary identity of Beis Din's psak of Galus as being that this person is capable of receiving an atonement through Galus, and that only as a byproduct of Beis Din's psak that he should and could get atonement is his dam mufkar to the Goel Adam, so then Beis Din may be even able to pass in a chiyuv galus when there's no Beis HaMikdash around. So the Marsha actually takes a very strong position on this chakira. The Kli Chemda brings down a Marsha and Daf Dalid, who says that if a person is a rotzeach without edim, if he kills without any witnesses, nobody can testify that he killed, so then he's going to be Pator from Galus. Why, says the Marsha? Because if there's no testimony that he killed, then the Goel Adam can't get him. If the Goel Adam cannot get him, so there's no need for him to go into Galus. The whole purpose of sending him into Galus is that he should escape from the Goel Adam. So if the Goel Adam can't get him, so then there is no need to send him into Galus. So clearly the Marsha views that the primary psak of Beis Din is that the Goel Adam is allowed to kill him, that only as a byproduct of that psak does he actually have to go into Galus. So the Marsha clearly views that Galus primarily is not a kapara, rather the primary purpose of Galus is going to be simply to save him from the Goel Hadam. This is also an interesting discussion on Daf Beis, where the Gemara talked about whether the Edim Zomimin are capable of getting a kapara, whether they're not capable of getting a kapara. The Gemara discussed that in the context of, it discussed kapara in the context of kofar. It said that idim zomimin are not b'nei kapara. You can never transfer a kapara to idim zomimin. And that was a svara that told us that idim zomimin, who testified that a person gets kofar so that they don't have to pay kofar, but rather they get malchus, because the whole purpose of kofar is kapara. The idim zomimin are not b'nei kapara. The kapara is something which relates to the action that they performed, to the physical action and the history which is attached to a particular human being or a particular body. And the idim zomimin didn't have that history, so imela they're not b'nei kapara. So when it comes to galus, however, the Gemara doesn't issue the same svara. It doesn't say galus is a kapara, and therefore if they're made that a person is chayev galus, so therefore they will not be exiled because they're not shayech in this kapara, but rather they'll get malchus. The Gemara needs Gzeiras HaKasuv to teach us. Gzeiras HaKasuv tells us that if they're made that a person is chayev galus, that they get malchus instead of getting that self-same penalty. Bepashtos, you could have said that the Gzeiras HaKasuv tells us that galus is more of a kapar than an onesh. That's what you might have said, but it's not what the Ramban says. The Ramban wants to know, why didn't we use the same rationale for galus as we use for kofar? Say that just like kofar is personal because it's a kapara and therefore it cannot be transferred to Edim Zomimin, so too galus is personal because it's a kapara and therefore it cannot be transferred to Edim Zomimin. So the Ramban says, look, because it's an onesh, because if he leaves the Ir Miklat, so then the Goel Adam can kill him. So therefore, because the onesh aspect exists or coexists with the kapara aspect, or perhaps even because the onesh aspect of galus is dominant, therefore we could not have used the rationale that galus is personal and can therefore not be transferred to Edim Zomimin, and we needed a Gzeiras HaKasuv to tell us that galus cannot be transferred to Edim Zomimin. And Professor Zalman has an aura on that Ramban. He says, wait a second, what about a case where there's no Goel Hadam? So then there's only a Kapara aspect in this Galus. So that sounds a little bit more like the Marsha, that the primary purpose is otherwise, and then maybe a secondary, you know, if there's no Goel Hadam, so then perhaps the Kapara Shabo takes on more primary characteristics. So these are just some of the discussions, some of the nafkaminas that Achronim bring down that center around this question about the identity of the Gemar Din, of the psak that based in issues in the case of someone who's Chayev Galos, whether that's primarily a psak that the person should and could get atonement by going into one of the cities of refuge, by going into exile in a city which is not his home, right? Or whether the primary identity of the psak of based in for people who are Rotzchim B'Shogig is that the Goel Adam is allowed to kill them, and that therefore they must flee to the Ir Mikla simply to save their lives, and then just as a byproduct of that, they happen to have to stay in Galos.